Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by the Isley Brothers, the Carpenters, the Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. Please consider supporting Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. You can learn more about them at bwunited.ca. They are always looking for donations and volunteers. So please, again, support Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. Again, that website is bwunited.ca.
Well, hey there, it's Zach, all the way from Chesapeake, Virginia. Creative Control happens to be my favorite podcast. I value Visha's insight and his ability to balance humor with in-depth conversation while occasionally dipping into serious topics. Regardless of whether I've heard of the guest or not, or however long Visha's known them, you really do get the feeling that the two of them have known each other for a long time, and I walk away from every episode feeling like I gained something. I think that's testament to how good of a journalist and conversationalist Visha is. He has a real skill of opening people up. I also enjoy the spicy and lighthearted ribbing Vish does with his guests from time to time. Oh, and while I have you, did you know that for just $6, you can subscribe to the Creative Control Patreon and get access to all kinds of bonus content? And for $10, Vish will mail you one of his t-shirts. And hey, that peaches shirt is pretty cool. Anyway, enjoy the episode and doot doot loot doo. Oh, wait.
Joshua Wayne Hensley and Jared Myers are songwriters, multi-instrumentalists, singers, and old friends who each live in northern Indiana. If you recognize Hensley's name, among other reasons, it may be because he and his band The Rutabaga have appeared on this show a couple of times. His new project is a collaboration with Myers called Forest Like, whose lovely folk rock self-titled debut album was released on November 3rd, 2023. Josh, Jared, and I connected on a Sunday morning in late January for a nice talk about things like their lives in Indiana and how they first bonded over buckets as young employees at a hardware store. The very flattering song that Josh wrote and recorded about me recently. Why Jared abandoned a promising music trajectory and why he's back at it now. How Forest Like worked together. a profound and somewhat unusual experience I had listening closely to their new album, spiritual and even Christmas themes in their latest songs, writing new music together and apart, other future plans, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this listener-supported and donor-driven podcast, spread the word about it, leave nice reviews and ratings on your podcast platform. That actually really helps. And make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol, which is the primary and most reliable way for podcasters like me to make a living. By the way, all amounts are welcome, but if you or someone you know might be some sort of wealthy patron of the arts, you know, and you're always like, oh, I'm going to give the opera $1 million this year, you know, one of those people. If you're one of those people, please consider making a large monthly donation, because one or two of those, and I'm sailing. I'll be a much more relaxed person. But again, any amount that you can part with to support me and my work at patreon.com/creativecontrol is appreciated. Thank you so much. Plus, in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario, all of which are independent businesses and some of which are referenced in that song that I mentioned that Josh wrote about me. In any case, this is episode 853 of Creative Control, featuring the lovely and talented Josh and Jared from Forest Like, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hi, Josh. How's it going?
It is going very well, Vish. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. I'm very full of pancakes and a little bit of coffee. And it's Sunday, so it's got a vibe, you know? That's how I feel.
Sunday vibe. Yeah. No pancakes, but I had some nice bowl of yogurt this morning and several cups of coffee. So.
Well, there you go. That's pretty good. Your system's percolating. Everything's going on down there, I'm sure.
Yes. I'll send over the report later.
Please don't. I don't need to see that. I don't know why I even invoked it. My bad. I'm sorry. Sometimes we get very physiological on the show, and I don't know why. Where in the world are you today, Josh?
I am actually over at my parents' house. They're out of town, so I am quote-unquote house-sitting, which basically just means my partner and I are giving each other some much-needed space. So I'm in Elkhart, Indiana, which is the city I was born in.
Oh, nice. That's great. That's great. And things are going okay there?
Yeah, it's always nice to kind of move at your own pace. I mean, obviously, I love my partner, and you know, life is good together. But we've also, especially since 2020, we've been I've been working remote for most of that time. So it's kind of nice just to totally be on your own schedule and all that good stuff. Yeah. So
nice. And sorry, just so the people who may not know, where you say where you are there in Indiana, where do you normally reside?
Just a little west of here in Mishawaka is where we live.
Yeah. So you're Indiana based still since the last time you were on the show to talk about the rutabaga. I just wanted to verify that. We have some close listeners. They like to follow along. Where is everyone? You know, they GPS my guests. I just want to make sure we know where you are. That's fine. It's lovely to have you back on the show. Thank you for making time.
And thank you for making time.
Oh, of course. And we're talking about a wonderful new project, or it's new to me, and we'll find out how new it is and as we go here. Also joining us on the line, Jared, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Nice to meet you. How are you doing?
Doing good. Thanks, Vish. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Where in the world are you?
I'm actually also in Elkhart, Indiana. Oh. Yeah, not too far from Josh right now. I'm at my home. We're, you know, northern Indiana, really close to the Michigan border.
Oh, okay, cool. And is that where you're kind of from originally, or...?
Yeah, born and raised. So I've always been in this area. Actually, the house I'm in right now is just a few miles from the house I was born in. So not too far away.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's you know who you are. You know where you want to be.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. You know, I don't know if it was a conscious decision or not, but this is definitely where I'm at.
Have you lived anywhere else?
No. Life? Well, I mean, in Mishawaka and South Bend, like the area that Josh lives in, I've lived there as well, but that's not too far from here either. So,
okay. I don't mean to be reductive or stereotypical, but you're a Hoosier. Like you're an Indiana person.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. And we pretty much hate the term Hoosier, but
that's why I invoked it.
We do understand. Yeah.
What is that? No, what is the, what is the origin of that term? I only know it.
I don't know. Josh, do you know where that came from?
I assume it's probably racist back at, you know, some point or another, but I really don't know what a Hoosier is.
That's a good impulse to, if you don't know a word, assume it's racist. It probably is racist somehow.
Yes.
I know it from the basketball film and the team. Right. Gene Hackman starred in a film called Hoosiers, which I believe came out in the 80s. And when my wife and I first met, and I don't mind, she'll probably hear this and be mad at me, but we were talking about movies or something, and she said, oh, yeah, that movie Hoosiers. And I was like, Hoosiers? You mean Hoosiers? She's like, yeah. I discovered that my wife's from Alberta. I'm from Ontario. They just pronounce certain words different. That's what I learned.
Yeah.
But Hoosiers is
I like that. That sounds a lot more, that sounds fancier. I like that.
She did attend French immersion.
Hoosiers.
She attended French immersion as a young person. So I think everything has a little French lilt.
Right. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of my buddy Charlie had a friend who was asking him if he had heard of the band Tortoise. And he's like, no, I don't think so. And then he realized they were talking about tortoise.
Right.
But yeah, it does. It does
Tortoise.
Yeah, French it up. It's
that's the
fancier.
That's the Fugazi effect. Every band sounds a little like Fugazi as we go, as we get a little Tortoise. Have you seen that double bill with Fugazi and Tortoise? Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Anyway, sorry to digress here. Jared, I, as I said, I've talked to Josh a bunch and I've gotten to know him a little bit. Actually, before I go much further, Josh, thank you for, as we're speaking, it was relatively recent, you wrote a song about me, I guess, dedicated to me. It's got a very hooky chorus. I haven't been able to talk. We've exchanged some messages, but, you know, I've been very swamped with work, and I knew you were doing this because I think you gave me the heads up, but I haven't really been able to convey to you how much that really meant to me. To have someone write a song about you, I can't think of a higher compliment. And when I say it's about me, folks, like, it's my name, it's celebrating this show.
I mean, it is technically titled Ode to Vish, I think it's safe to say it's about you.
I think it's 100% about
you. I'm sorry, I'm trying to be
every part of it.
You know, there's two things happening. I'm extremely flattered, but I also feel a little awkward that someone cared that much about me and what I do to write a song about it. It's a mix of emotions. I'm like, because on the one hand, I'm like, wow, this is going to get me through the week. How do you get better than this? On the other hand, tremendous pressure. Oh no, someone took time to write a song about me. That means I got to keep doing all this stuff and live up to the song. You know what I mean? But all this to say, I don't mean to burden you with these negative or pressure feelings I'm feeling. I don't really feel that, Josh. Thank you. Immense thank you for doing what you did there. And before we get in, you know what? I brought it up because I wanted to bring it up early. Can we just talk about this, Josh? I don't want to say what inspired the song because clearly it's me. But why did you choose to write a song to me at this point in your life?
Okay, so, I'll try not to do too much flattery because I know just from listening to the podcast that makes you uncomfortable and squirrely over there. Yeah. But part of it, this is something I've been wanting to do for a little while just as kind of a thank you. I feel like what you are doing is really important, and you've been like shining a light on artists and people that have been creating things for years. And I know it can feel thankless sometimes, and it's meant a lot to me, especially over the last few years. I'm actually getting a little emotional. I just wanted it to feel like a little high five from Indiana. So
listen,
From a Hoosier.
From a Hoosier, yeah. A Hoosier.
A Hoosier.
Josh, thank you. Jared, every time Josh comes on the show, we get emotional. It's an emotional time.
Yeah.
And
I'm very familiar with this with Josh.
Yeah, well, I want to say I'm trying to cut through the tension or the stress of this, but That's very meaningful to me too, Josh. And to hear those words, particularly at this time in my life where I'm just trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing, you know? I'm at a point where I'm like a career, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why are we all giving away everything for free after we put all these hours into work, you know? So I have those thoughts and I don't want to go on and on about it, but it was a very lovely thing to receive from you. And you've conveyed how much, and you and others have conveyed, for whatever reason, how much hearing these conversations has helped you or meant to you, particularly, I think you're referring to this time of isolation, the pandemic and whatnot. So yeah, thank you. And I appreciate it. And it does keep me going. I know people listening have received messages from me in response to their own emails or Patreon messages or whatever, DMs. And I always say this really helps. It really gets me through and makes me want to keep going. And it's not, I say it a lot because it's true. And I just want to say that to you too. And catchy ass song. I mean, you got hooks, man. I was like, I can't. It was to the point where, like, you're right. I get squirrely. I don't like flattery. Then I found myself, because I'm a person who will just, as I'm walking down the street, mutter singing. Like, I do, like, kind of a singing, muttering thing to myself. Like, if I got a hook in my head, I was just like, then I found myself saying this hook, but it was my own name. And I was like, you can't sing a song about yourself walking down the street. People think you're insane. So I.
Yeah, it was catchy. I was singing it too. I was singing your name as well, like doing the dishes the other day.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So this tune. Is, you've made an earworm out of me finally. After years of trying to get my voice in people's heads with this podcast, you did it. So, Josh, I didn't mean to make things awkward, but I just wanted to say thank you and not let it go. So, thank you very much. Jared, you've heard the song and you know Josh. What do you suppose? And I don't want to go on about the song per se. You've said you've been singing it.
Kind of sounds like you do, Vish.
I want to draw some attention to it because I feel like I didn't do a good enough job. I am in a constant swirl of day job work. And here we are on a Sunday for crying out loud. I barely have any time to write emails to people. It's frustrating. Anyway, enough about that. Everyone's going through that. Jared, beyond the song itself, what do you suppose, you know, you say you're familiar with Josh's sort of emotional expression when you heard it, and by the way, Josh, what you didn't say, I don't think, is you seem to be doing a series of these kinds of songs.
Well,
is that right?
So I'm doing this thing called Weekly Beats this year, and it's something Emily, my partner, has done for several years. It's kind of an every other year thing, but basically you write and record a new song every week and then upload it to the Weekly Beats website.
Okay.
So they're not all odes to people, but it's just kind of like, it was a good, I needed to do a song that week and I had been meaning to work on that. So it was kind of a good excuse to like, hey, I'm going to actually set a deadline and make it happen.
Okay. So. I appreciate that. And thanks for interjecting. Cause I realized I was maybe speaking out of turn. Jared, when you hear a song,
Jared is next week.
You're getting a song next week? Okay, great. That's awesome. Jared, when you hear tell that Josh has done such a thing and you hear the emotion going into such an expression, you know Josh better than I do. You know Josh better than people listening, maybe. Does it say something about his character in particular?
Josh has always been like that. I mean, I think it's cool to see someone, you know, just wear their heart on their sleeve like that. I have a hard time with that. I've never been, you know, it's just, you know, raw emotion is always a difficult thing for me. But Josh does it in a way that you feel it and it doesn't seem ridiculous or anything like that. And I kind of envy that, the fact that he can do that. So, and it comes across in the music too. He's like that musically, and that power that comes across, especially with the rutabaga stuff, a lot of that is that raw emotion, and I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that's what speaks to me about, let's talk about Josh like he's not here for a few minutes and just flatter him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what really comes across to me about his work too and why it's resonated with me. It feels very heartfelt and genuine and all those sorts of things. How do you know Josh per se, Jared? Where did this relationship start?
It was actually started as a working relationship. We worked at Menards, which is a hardware store in our area. And, you know, one day Josh just kind of showed up in the break room area and they had this display of buckets. And he just said, buckets? So the only thing that he said to me was the word buckets. And we kind of had a laugh and that was it. But I thought, what an interesting dude that he just, you know, passed by me and just said that to me. And then eventually, yeah, it was kind of just a weird thing. But eventually we did start to talk. And Josh, this is where I'm always, I can't remember this part of it, but you talk mm-hmm. about this a lot, where we just eventually started talking about music. I don't remember how that came to be, but, or maybe you said before that you kind of knew of me from other people or something.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a mutual friend named Desiree, and she knew Jared well, and I had met her, through someone else, and she would tell me about him, like, hey, you know, you have to meet my friend Jared sometime. I think you guys would get along, or, you know, have a lot in common. And you may have had, or one of us maybe had, like, a Sonic Youth shirt or something like that. So I knew that, like, yeah. I think we knew, like, we could kind of catch the vibe, like, okay, there's not a lot of people in Elkhart who have even heard of Sonic Youth at that time, or, you know, so we would, yeah, eventually we got past Buckets and would.
Buckets, you know, did, like, it for me, though. I mean, I was in right from there.
Buckets so. Drew you in.
Yeah.
But yeah, we would meet, you know, like, we worked in different departments, so we would, you know, if I'd see him, like, walking the store, we were both, you know, pretending we were working or something. We would, you know, we would meet in the aisles and, you know, talk about the Beatles or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And sorry, how old were you each roughly at this time there, Jared?
I was like 20, 21.
Oh, okay.
And Josh was probably 18, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, if there. I were to hazard a guess, this is almost a 2-decade-old relationship?
Yeah. Very okay. old. Yeah. Yeah. My longest relationship. Yeah.
Wow.
That's, with anyone that's besides lovely. My parents.
That's lovely. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. you bond over music as friends. My sense of things with Forest Like is that it's a newer project, but maybe Josh, you can clarify this, because I just want to get at when you first started working together on music. Josh, can you talk about that?
Yeah. So Forest Like is definitely on the newer side of things. I mean, the batch of songs that ended up on our debut album that came out last November, we started working on those songs in late 2019. So just shortly before the pandemic started. And anyway, like, when we met, we both were writing songs and kind of trying to get bands going back when we met in the late 90s. And so we ended up kind of, like, joining forces back then, and that was, I think for both of us, those experiences were pretty, like, foundational as far as, like, how to be in a band and, you know, how to write with other people and all that kind of stuff. So we had, we had, like, several different iterations back then with other members and stuff like that. So that foundation was there, and that was always a big part of our friendship, was, you know, music was kind of at the heart of that. But then there was a pretty good chunk of time, over a decade, where Jared had kind of, he was just, I don't want to speak for him, but he kind of stepped away from music and was focusing on other things. And that was kind of when I really leaned into doing the Rutabaga, and, you know, Garth and I started playing together. And so there was a good chunk of time where we were still friends, you know, and we would, whenever we would hang out, we would always tend to, like, end up in a side room with a couple guitars or something, like, hey, check this thing out, or, you know, stuff like that. But Jared wasn't really actively working on music or anything like that. And then, so that kind of, late 2019 was kind of when he dipped his toes back in, and that's what started all this.
Okay, I want to, considerately as possible, ask you about that gap, Jared, in a moment. But just for logistics reasons or whatever, I don't know what the right word is. I'm full of pancakes. I want to ask about the instrumental sort of interplay here. Can you, Jared, identify what each you and Josh bring to Forest Like in terms of the music, like the instruments you take on, the songwriting and that kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, both of us are guitar players for the most part. We both sing and harmonize. So, you know, two vocals, two guitars usually. We also, with this album, picked up a couple of ukuleles, but like the baritone style ukulele, which is pretty much the bottom four strings of a guitar.
And kind of sounds, does it sort of sound like a mandolin? Because I was like, is that a mandolin?
Or it can. Ukulele? It can have feel in a weird way. It depends what you do. But yeah, and then we also, you know, Josh plays a lot of bass. So Josh is the primary bass player. He's much better at that than me. So he gets that job.
Accurate.
Yeah. And then some drum work. We do some, like, we do what we can with, like, a snare and shakers and things like that. And then I also do a lot of drum machine stuff for us, too. So I'm kind of careful with that, but we do use that. We don't want to be, like, a drum machine band, but it does come into play. So that's kind of it, right, Josh? Is there anything else?
You did some keys stuff too, you know, and then, I did some, I guess I did that too, but like I just have like a little Casio.
That doesn't count for me because I really don't know what I'm doing, but it ends up there. So
it sounds like you both know exactly what you're doing and there's some experimentation. On occasion, this has, for me, it's like, it's like a scrappy, sort of lo-fi Everly Brothers vibe that I get from it, which I know
I've never heard that, but that's great.
It has a lot to do with the harmonies, I suppose, the singing. Obviously, that's what we most associate with the Everlys, but it's also kind of the tone and what you're singing about. And I want to get into that in a moment. But as I tried to promise, I wanted to ask you about this gap that Josh alluded to, where you stepped away from music, Jared, before dipping your toes back in, as he said. In 2019, can we talk about the duration? Well, two things. Can I ask you again, as gingerly as I can, what precipitated a little bit of a step back for you? And secondly, how long were you away from music making?
Well, so I guess it was about 2007. I was kind of ending a run with a band called Daytime Volume that I had. And we had done quite a bit together. We made an album, did a lot of shows out west. I ended up doing like CMJ and a few bigger things. Got a little bit of record industry interest. And I kind of realized that I didn't really want to do, like, I didn't want to get into a van. I didn't want to quit my job and go on some tour and do some of the things that we were discussing. And it really hit me hard, like, okay, this thing that I've been working for this whole time is really not something that I feel like doing. I enjoy writing music and doing these things, but I don't want to leave my family and, you know, hit the road. So it was kind of an awakening for me. And right around the same time, I was kind of, oddly enough, it's not something I'm into now necessarily, but I got really into long distance running.
Oh,
so I started doing that. You know, I started running a lot, and you know, it sounds kind of Forrest Gumpy or something, but that's really what I was doing. That was my interest, so I kind of, you know, backed away from music, and I was like, you know, I would dabble, I would write a thing here or there, I'd record it on my own and not show anyone, you know, that kind of thing. But, it was pretty, pretty conscious. I was like, okay, I'm kind of done with music for now. It's not something I want to really pursue, but it never really left me. You know, it was always kind of, you know, I've always, you know, just been a musical person that's, you know, I love it. And it's something that is, I feel like it's just ingrained in me since I was a kid. So, it's pretty hard to completely step away, but I did for, I don't know, I think that was 10 or 12 years, so it was a while.
I couch this all as being, trying to be very considerate, because I thought I had read that there was also like a medical reason why you had kind of stepped away.
Behind Sinking Stone. I think that's kind of blown out of proportion a little bit with some of the interviews that we've had.
Okay.
But with the song Sinking Stone, the meaning behind that is a lot of things, but the song came to me when I had this medical scare, and it really wasn't anything. I had, low red blood cell counts. I don't know what they call that, but it ended up being nothing. It was like an ulcer situation. That was it. So, yeah, no big deal. So for a while, though, there was like a cancer talk and all this stuff, and I was kind of freaking out.
Sure, yeah.
So when I wrote the song, you know, I was kind of thinking about, wow, you know, what have I been doing this whole time and with everything, and not just the hiatus or whatever, but just life in general. So it was a real kind of big overview of where I'm at now, and just kind of that look through the lens of someone that, you know, might be in trouble. So, but ended up being nothing. So yeah, totally. Okay. Yeah. And then it reads weird in those interviews. I'm like, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but,
well, just so, and yeah, I'm sorry for furthering this, story or the
rumor mill.
It is something that is included in the biographical info that we receive, people interviewing you. So I just wanted to, the conflation, I think, of he took a break and from music making. And then I think the way it's couched is, something precipitated your return and it was a medical scare, but it sounds like it was just the one song. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it was the song.
Jared, there's something I need to tell you. I've kind of embellished the story in our promo materials.
and now I'm covering for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of said you were on your, on your deathbed.
It sounds like it's significant to you. So I hope I'm not adding to the, whatever. But
no, and at the time it, you know, it was kind of scary. So, you know, I started thinking about the worst case scenario, and that's kind of what that song was about, you know. But as far as the 10 years off, nothing, it had nothing to do with that.
Okay.
No, it was just, took a music break. That was it.
That's fair. That's fair. And if you reflect upon why you decided not to pursue the touring and the label interest, was it the risk involved in that? Or you mentioned not wanting to be away from your family, so I don't know if that's is that your partner and your kids or something.
My wife and our dog, you know. We didn't do the kid thing, we've always had some dog that we love. So
okay,
we're two in now. We're on number two now.
Oh, congratulations!
I think the idea that being in bars every night and just kind of struggling financially and just how hard that lifestyle is, and making that leap to like from being like, okay, this is a hobby, to I'm going to be in the very bottom of the barrel of like a touring band. And I was like, I don't think I feel like doing that.
Yeah, so, fair enough.
You know, and I was reaching 30 at that point. Yeah. So I was like, I don't, you know, this seems like a bad move for me at this point in my life. If I were 20 when that happened, I think it might have been different. But that was 10 years after Josh and I met, probably.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
I hear you. Okay, thanks for that. Josh, let's talk about what brought Jared back. It sounds like in around 2019, if not a bit earlier. From your perspective, what was it like? Would you get messages from Jared like, hey, I got something, or how did it work?
Yeah, well, obviously, like, I had still been, you know, doing a lot with music during that time, and we, you know, we would still talk about music, and, you know, we would... Well, I would send him songs and stuff like that, but he has a buddy who had a baritone ukulele, and I think they had gotten together and Jared was kind of just like messing around with it and decided to get one, or did he give you one, Jared?
I got one. I bought one after I was there.
Yeah. So Jared bought it. And I think, you know, kind of that experience of picking up an instrument that you can figure out, but you're not necessarily like, you know, we've been playing guitar for so long that you kind of have your moves that you are the things that you always go to. So I think in some ways playing that little bit of a different setup on the baritone ukulele kind of sparked some ideas for Jared, and he ended up getting like some recording equipment. And yeah, I remember towards late 2019, he had said, hey, I think like my little setup, like I've been, you know, tracking a couple demos or whatever, and it actually sounds pretty good. You should come over and record something with me sometime, just so we could kind of, you know, test it out, or, you know, whatever. And so he kind of alluded to the fact that he had been writing again. So I wasn't sure if he was wanting to record one of those. And he said, well, let's try and do, like, do you have anything that's not like a Rutabaga song that you would want to try tracking? And so that was kind of like what it started. So the actually the first song that we tracked did end up on the album, and that is The Real Things, right, Jared? Is
yep.
that?
Yep.
Am I remembering? Okay.
That was the first one, yeah.
Yeah, so I went over, and that like felt great. Like it really came together, and I think we were both like pretty excited with like with the sound of the recording and everything. So we ended up doing a couple more, and then it was starting to feel like, hey, this might be something. Like this kind of feels like its own little thing, and so that was the point when we were like, hey, we should figure this out. Like, is this, you know, is this a band? Is this an album? Yeah. Is this, you know, just like an EP or whatever? Yeah. And yeah, the whole thing was very kind of casual, not like, you know, like I didn't send over contracts or anything.
Well, that's what this call's about. I didn't mean to scare anyone, but yeah, this is a legal matter now. No, I had earlier invoked the Everly Brothers. When I think about The Real Things, I remember feeling like this has like a haunting Elliot Smith vibe or something. Josh, you suggest, or I think it was you who just suggested there was like a discussion about, do you have something, that isn't a Rutabaga song? I think is something along the lines of what you said. For you as the songwriter, how do you distinguish between a Rutabaga song at this point and something for a project like this one? Is it the lyrical content? Is it your attack as a singer? How do you distinguish that, those two things?
That's a good question. I don't know that I really, it's nothing really concrete. It's more of just like a feeling, I think. Just like, you know, a lot of the Rutabaga stuff is a little heavier, isn't the right word, but, you know, like Garth is an actual drummer, whereas Jared and I are both just kind of faking it when we're putting beats together. But it is more, it's more, drums are a big part of it, and but at the same time there are Rutabaga songs that are, you know, quieter or whatever. So I think it is just kind of a gut thing, like, oh, this feels like, you know, this just feels like something else. Or honestly, there have been times when I've sent Garth songs and he's been like, I don't know, not really feeling that one.
So did any of those Rutabaga rejects make it into this project?
I don't think so. Those I save for my solo albums.
I don't mean to cause problems. I'm just asking questions. It's fine.
Yeah.
I had a really weird, an interesting experience listening to your album, that I've never had before. I go for acupuncture and, cupping massage therapy now. I've been doing it for a few years, but my things have been acting up and I thought I should go. And normally I go in there and I'm very uncomfortable. They tell you, the person's always like, man, your shoulders and neck are so tense. How could you do anything?
Mm.
And I go, yeah, I don't know. But I think the tension is ramped up when I'm lying there prone and they've got the kind of music playing and then they leave for 15 minutes while needles are in me and I have no way to contact them to be like, I'm freaking out. Come back in here. You know, it's dark.
Yeah.
So yesterday I decided I'm going to take music with me of my own. And I put earbuds in and I listened to your album while laying prone. And I just had the most relaxed experience I've had on that table in years. Changed my life. And I think I was lucky because I did it thinking, oh, I better listen some more and deeply to prep for my interview with Forest Like. And I just want to tell you guys, it's the perfect acupuncture, cupping massage, musical accompaniment I've ever had. And I've never had that before. Jared, what do you make of this?
Forest Like's pretty medicinal, you know?
Yeah.
I think you just came up with a sticker quote for our next release.
Yeah.
Seems like it might have been a long one. What are you actually going to extract from my not-so-great story?
Music to listen to while you're having acupuncture and cupping therapy.
It's going to be a giant, like, a bumper sticker. It's not just an album sticker. It's going to have to be, So I just wanted to share that with you because I've never done that before. I even said to her, is it rude to have music of my own playing, like any earbuds? She's like, no, it's fine. It's actually fine. To be honest, I didn't even know this at the time. She's like, to be honest, you're in a room and I don't have the music. I don't have the incense and all that stuff. It's probably good. But I'm telling you, it, as you know, in a go, go, go world, sometimes you can't listen, you can't hear every lyric. And I just found it like I was really living with your record. So I'm joking, but I'm half serious. No, wait, I'm half joking. I'm deadly serious. Everyone should listen to this record in a state where they can really sit there and immerse themselves in it and have nothing to distract them. I actually found it joyful to be able to be like, I can't do anything else. It's not on in the background when I'm making pancakes. It's not on when I'm trying to write some email and I'm not focused. Focus and force, like, winning combination. There, I distilled the sticker down.
There it is.
Thank you. That's actually really beautiful, Vish. Thanks for... I'm glad that you shared that, and I think it's really cool that you were able to listen to it like that, because we are often so distracted, and the times when I actually really do sit down and focus on music sometimes it just hits you like how much you're missing. It's almost like, you know, like when you're listening on crappy like laptop speakers and then you turn on the nice stereo and like really hear something. It's like, oh yeah, music is can be really, really amazing. And there's like this whole other layer to it that our modern lives can kind of keep us from accessing. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to ask about mandolin versus ukulele, because in that experience, I was, and by the way, it was a long appointment. So I listened to your record at least twice.
Wow.
I managed to press play again. I should have put it on repeat so I didn't have to muck around with my phone. I actually listening on that at that level of immersion made me hear things. I mean, this is obviously really, it's probably really obvious to everyone, but it wasn't just that I loved listening to your record. It dawned on me that I never listened to things like that, where I'm just focused on it completely. And I just want to say, for anyone who hasn't dug in, this is a great record for that. There's lots of great production stuff going on, and
I used to, you know, I was talking about long distance running, and I used to get the same kind of vibe sometimes. So, you know, especially if you have, we're pretty far into a run where it is kind of almost meditative at that point, and I'm listening to something, I pop the earbuds in. And it would be, you know, really immersed in it. Like, it's the only thought that you have besides your feet moving, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I kind of relate to that experience, I think.
Well, I try to listen to interview-based albums. Like, if I have, sorry, that make no sense to anybody. When I have an interview to do, I try to run with that music playing in my head, but it will depend on the record. Because I will also say I would not listen to Forest like running. I think I would, my wife would be like, you've been gone 4 hours. Where did you go? I'm like, yeah, I didn't have hot snakes on, so I couldn't get the pace I wanted. And I was just gently, I was more of a, not even speed walking, you know? So I will say, yeah, I'm the same though. Like, it is interesting when you put yourself and your body through a meditative state and you have music on. I think what we're both getting at, Jared, is it gets in you more. It's in there. It's in your mind more. Then maybe
zero distraction. I think,
or driving, like everything else we do with music is, you know, background. So I just want to say anything people can do. And again, all I'm saying is you changed my life. If I have to go back there, I'm not the most comfortable massage.
Hey, thanks for listening to Creative Control. As always,
however,
as you may have heard,
I've learned that I can maybe put on my own music.
I recently lost my day job, and I've had a few conversations with people since, even who've said you had a day job.
Changed
I thought your podcast.
All I'm getting at is.
When I explained why it hasn't
changed my
day job
Thank you guys.
To a friend, he suggested I should share some of this information with people
like
you listening right now. So, in short, unless they have some giant exclusive $1 million contract, podcasters are not paid to make stuff by companies like Apple and Spotify. Podcasters do not make any money from streaming royalties. Ad revenue is dependent on a certain threshold of downloads each month, and even if your show is accessed 30,000 times a month, the income you get is actually really minimal. So podcasters like me usually make time in our lives to support our communities and our interests to make these shows, and our most reliable source of income for this work is, in fact, crowdfunding. In my case, it's my Patreon. So if you'd like to receive ad-free episodes earlier than everyone else, regular newsletters and blog posts, bonus audio content, and support my work, quite literally, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Jared, you're both in the same vicinity geographically. I got the impression there was some file sharing still going on, potentially because of the pandemic, or I'm not sure. Can you articulate that? Were you sharing files, or yeah, were you getting together as much as possible?
It started off like it was, you know, I would have Josh over. So at first it was, we were both at my house, and Josh didn't really have, like, you had probably some sort of a recording setup, but you didn't have the setup you have now. Yeah. At that time. But the pandemic did cause some problems there, and especially for Josh, and I think you know Josh's story with that.
Yes.
By the way, though,
for those who haven't heard that story, who maybe didn't hear us talk about it, sorry, Jared. Maybe, Josh, do you want to just quickly explain, re-explain, I guess, for those who haven't caught your last appearance on the show, what Jared is referring to?
Yeah, so I am immunocompromised because of a medication I take that weakens my immune system. So, yeah, well, obviously the pandemic threw a wrench in the works for everyone. I've had to be more cautious than a lot of people. So that, yeah, that's, you know, even post lockdown, you know, I wasn't ready to jump back into, like, being in Jared's studio and having him, you know, mouth breathe all over my space and everything.
Right. Well, no one wants
a problem.
No one wants Jared mouth breathing on them. It's not just Josh.
Right.
I think that's a fair assessment. I appreciate you explaining that, Josh. And I'm sorry I cut you off there, Jared, but I just thought it was important to catch people up who may not know. Are you able to continue on with talking about the distinction between sharing files and working together in the same space?
Yeah. So when the pandemic hit, it was obvious that we weren't going to be able to get together like many people. So we started talking about studio stuff, and I was kind of like, well, this is what I'm using. Josh bought a lot of the same gear. So a lot of the, like, identical equipment between us, which worked out nicely just because it was kind of transparent. You know, you couldn't tell which space it was recorded then, for the most part. And we shared files. So we would, most of the album, I would say three songs were recorded here. And then outside of that, it's both of us. So,
okay,
you know, just sharing files.
Okay.
You know?
So as a songwriting collaboration, I'm just curious how you helped each other. Lyrically, arrangement-wise, like, was it each of you bringing things in pretty fully formed? Or were you actually not only trading files, but like going back and forth about what worked, or maybe you tried this phrase, like that kind of thing? Jared, can you talk about how this collaboration actually works?
Yeah, sometimes it does work that way, where I just send Josh something and I get this. And keep in mind, Josh is like a fully formed musician.
Yeah, of course.
You know, he is like, you know, compared to me, I'm always amazed at what he can do. So there are times where I will send him something and I get this song back and I'm like, whoa, I can't believe that, you know, this is what you've done with it. Other times,
Do you mean instrumentally primarily, arrangement-wise?
Instrumentally, okay, yeah. Like there are a couple of those that, you know, it was the drums, the guitar, you know, the lead guitar parts, the bass, the harmonies. It was all, you know, I just sent him a song that I wrote and that was it. It was just me and an acoustic.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, there are some of those. But then other times we would do, you know, I do a ton of phone recordings, which probably annoys Josh. I'm like, hey, check this out. Oh, here's version two. Here's three. So just sending him a lot of things like that. And we will kind of discuss it and work out different parts. And Josh tends to kind of get annoyed with me when I completely change something. But I drift with songs a lot of times. And he's laughing. And I change it kind of midstream sometimes just because I start to get another idea about it. And there are things that we recorded that, we started one way and I got, I just was like, hey, I don't want to do it this way. I'm sorry. I want to take another crack at it. And we would re-record everything with, the new ideas in place and work it out that way. So sometimes it's, instant. Sometimes it takes a few times.
Okay. Just based on your relative objectivity as one songwriter in the band, can I put you on the spot and ask you to perform a little English course assignment here and give me an overarching sense of what you think Josh was kind of getting to with some of the lyrics on in his contributions to this record?
We have a hard time with discussing lyrics because we oftentimes, and this is kind of comes from both of us, and I think this is because we both learned how to write lyrics together at a very young age.
Right.
And we've always, like literally a song can be about five things or 10 things. And a lot of times I will write line for line. Like I just have this line that I have that I like and I'm going to put it with this whole other idea. So it's not always like a story song. Mm-hmm. Neither of us do that well. Josh probably better than me. So, no, I don't really think I can, explain, one of Josh's songs and where he comes from. But, Josh, maybe you can answer that better. I don't know.
Yeah, and Jared, just so you know, you can try to make up for your lack here on the final exam. Like, we'll figure out a way to bump your mark back up and get you back in the game. Yeah.
I hope so.
Josh, similar line of questioning about how you work together with Jared in terms of contributions, because I don't want to not let you have the opportunity to talk about that. And then again, if you have any perspective on some of the songs that Jared wrote lyrically, I'd love to hear that mm-hmm. too, because I do pick up on a tone here. When I invoke the Everly Brothers, even when they're singing dark stuff, I feel like a pleasantness. I feel like a warmness to mm-hmm. their vocals. So the overall sense I have from this record that it is pretty warm and empowering and optimistic, but I am now talking to the people who wrote the song. So maybe you have a different perspective on these things. All this to say, Josh, can you speak to your collaboration with Jared here and also your perspective on what he might have been writing about?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things that come to mind. And the first is that when Jared was talking about sending me the different voicemails and different, as songs change, or like he'd be like, hey, check this out. I tried something different with, with Cosmic Danger or whatever, whatever the song is. That I tend to write more in kind of a burst of, it kind of what comes out,
yeah.
Lyrically too. Not that I don't ever, revise things or clean things up a bit, but, Jared is very different in that he will work on the lyrics for a song for months sometimes. And he'll kind of chisel away and, it is, almost more like a sculpture or something. Not like he's probably embarrassed that I'm talking about his writing in this way, but yeah, that's kind of a different, as far as our writing styles, but yeah, there were a couple songs on the album, specifically Sinking Stone that Jared was talking about earlier. And then the last song, which is called Fighting, Peace Be With You. And those two were kind of different in that, Jared sent me, for Sinking Stone, he sent me a good chunk of it. Here's the verse and the chorus. And, I kind of repeated those, but I'm not really sure if it's done or how to end it or whatever. And I ended up writing like an ending part that seemed to fit really well with it. Fighting also was kind of similar. That was one we had when we were hanging out, with some friends, our wives and, a couple other friends, it was probably sometime in 2019, but that was something that we were just kind of playing those chords and Jared came up with the main melody and I actually we had a voice memo recording of us at that. It wasn't really a party, but it was kind of like we were all hanging out and, that actually ended up, making it at the beginning of the song. You can kind of hear that as it fades in. But yeah, that was one Jared wrote one of the verses and he was like, hey, why don't you write a verse too? Huh. And so I wrote the second verse and then the third verse, I was like, why don't we kind of split this one? So like I wrote the first half of it and then he finished it. And that to me, that was, I don't want to like put too much on it, but when I listen to that song specifically, it feels like it kind of captures a lot of our friendship. And when you've known someone most of your life and you know, you've kind of been through some big things to get, you know, like Jared saw me, you know, become a parent and go through a divorce and, you know, like we've been friends through loss and, you know, all kinds of things like that. So there's a lot there and it's not just like, oh, this is some dude I'm in a band with, you know, like we've got almost a brotherly kind of relation. Like neither of us have brothers. And I think it's always, that's always kind of felt like that. So I'm rambling a bit, but I think what I'm trying to say is that no matter what the lyrics of a specific song are, or themes or things like that, when I think of the album or when I listen to these songs, to me, it just feels like our relationship in a lot of ways.
I feel like writing for me anyways, and I think you're the same, is more of a feeling than like the story behind the song or whatever. So at least lyrically, I'm always kind of going for a certain feeling, but not necessarily like, hey, I want to tell them about this, you know, or whatever. So
mm-hmm. Or here's my big statement about global warming or whatever.
I mean, and some of that stuff goes into that, you know, but it's not about that or whatever. So the feeling though is definitely it, and the, like you're talking about the warmth and those kind of things. Yeah. That part of it with this record was pretty intentional. Like we really wanted to have that feel. And I think kind of, you know, pandemic era, you know, everybody wanted to kind of, you know, be in a place where it's a little softer landing and things just feel nicer, and that's what we were going for.
Well, when I talk about warmth and things you're conveying, it's interesting that you invoked the final song on the album, which is called Fighting, and then in parentheses, Peace Be With You. Now, I married a Catholic lady, and a couple of times in my life, I've been asked to attend Mass, which I'd never done before in my life, because I'm not Catholic. And whatever. So I found out, I feel like the phrasing may have changed. I found out that when you go there, people dress up and they talk at the stage. And then at some point they say, and peace be with you. And then you're supposed to go to your neighbor. Tell me if you know what I'm talking about here, guys. I'm just trying to convey. Have you been through this yourselves?
I have. Yeah.
Yeah. So you turn to your neighbor and you say, peace be with you. And they say, and with you, right? I think that's right. Is that right?
It's something like that. My sister is Greek Orthodox, so I've been to some of those ceremonies which are similar, and I always really like I don't know. I love it. I think it's really cool.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. So
that
that
song's not about that, but
it, no. I
know the feeling
that.
Though.
But peace is invoked a couple of times on this record. There's another song. So I picked up on Peace Be With You as connecting me to that experience. And I know there are people listening who know exactly what I'm talking about and know that I'm probably saying something wrong. I don't remember if it's and with you or and unto
and
you.
And also with you.
Also with you. That's also with you. Thank you. There's another song called A Stubborn Ballad, and it invokes Silent Night. The last line is, the sparrows and judges are sleeping in heavenly peace. I'm not trying to, again, English essay brain right now. I just feel like it's interesting that peace is a very warm sentiment to convey peace. But I found it interesting that both were in the realm of religious expression. And I don't know who's responsible for these things, but I don't know if it's just a coincidence and you're both like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Josh, I'm just going to go to you on this first. Do you hear where I'm coming? Why the two invocations of peace in this sort of context, I suppose?
I'm kind of glad that you asked this because for fighting Peace Be With You, for whatever reason, Jared started singing that when we were at that hangout and the song or that like the basic idea was coming together. I think you were singing. Yeah, no, you were singing it that night. Peace be with you. Da, 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 da. Like the rest of the words were different, but I don't actually know, Jared. But was there anything specific that sparked that, or is that?
I think I just said it. I think it was you know like the right syllables.
Gotcha.
I think that's what it was, but I don't remember. That's been a while.
But you had an affinity for those ceremonies you attended, where that might have been conveyed, right?
Yeah, and I've always liked that kind of saints and those kind of things. Like there's something about that I don't know.
The imagery.
It seems magical to me.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, no judgment here. I know I was talking all cynical. I'm just asking because I just thought it was interesting. Sorry to cut you off there, Josh.
Oh, no.
Go ahead. You were going to say something about the other one, maybe?
Yeah. So, and Stubborn Ballad is kind of an outlier with this group of songs because I had. So this goes, that song actually, the seeds of it go way back to when probably. Shortly after Jared and I met, so my oldest child, Truth, she had brought home her vocabulary homework, and I was helping her with that. And I looked at the list of words, and it just, I don't know what it was. I mean, it's always, obviously, a vocab list is always just a random, you know, or maybe not random, but it's a, you know, it's a group of words. But it just felt so poetic and evocative to me, some of the words that were on that list. And I remember writing some of these lyrics based off of words that were on her vocab list. So like, I think
you mean for that specific song, A Stubborn Island, or for the record in general?
Yes. Okay. A Stubborn Ballad. Okay. Yeah. So, like, for example, the first line of the song is, a million chimneys cough out a stubborn ballad. And so I think from even just from that line, I think chimneys, stubborn, and ballad were all on that vocab list.
Nice.
So that was kind of like what sparked or just what got my brain thinking like kind of lyrically way back then. But so I did actually have like I feel like I had played – Jared, I played – like an early version of this for you, like over the years, is that? Am I remembering that right?
I had heard it in the past, but it had been a real long time. When you showed it to me again, I was like, oh yeah. I forgot about that song. Yeah.
And so kind of atypical for me, this was one that I didn't like finish all in a burst. It like kind of like, I didn't forget about it. And there was something about it that I really loved, but I almost felt like I wanted to be careful with it. Like I felt like it really needed to be done right. And for whatever reason, it never quite like came together or, you know, it never really felt like it was finished. And when Jared and I were working on these forest-like songs, I started thinking about it again, and I was like, I wonder if it's time to like actually finish this song that I started, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And yeah, that last line, the sparrows and judges are sleeping in heavenly peace. I think it was just the, I mean, I've always loved Silent Night, and I think it's a really, like, it's one of my favorite, like Christmas songs or whatever. It's,
yeah.
I think it's a really beautiful song, and that, sleeping in heavenly peace, for whatever reason, that phrase, has just always felt like they're not morbid, but, it's evocative, and, you know, I kind of, to me, it brings to mind, yeah, like death and things like that. Yeah. So, I don't recall.
Sounds subconscious.
Feeling like a,
A little bit of a coincidence then? The invocations of peace were both something we could associate.
I don't think, I personally hadn't really caught that we both
mentioned. Yeah, I didn't even think about that until now, so.
So I've done it again, is what you guys are saying.
You've cracked the case.
Everyone should write a song about me. I know what I'm doing. That's what we're saying. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even have an argument for it. I just thought that was fascinating and wondered if there was some underlying sentiment, because we're all in a bit of a, it sounds like you two had this too, like starting a project at the, not knowing a pandemic was starting and then realizing that time is precious. Life is precious. You know, I wonder, you're not the only ones I've been talking to on the show who have kind of gone into, you know, during the pandemic, I got into tarot. During the pandemic, I got into other spiritual practices. Like, people both had the time to dwell on that, but also were wondering what else there was. If this reality is not doing it for me, I'm not, like, I'm just speaking on behalf of a nebulous person here. I'm not a religious person, but I need something to ground myself in this, in the face of this madness and uncertainty. I'm going to pick something. I'm going to pick some line of thought. So I wasn't suggesting necessarily that these were religious references per se, but it is a pattern I'm noticing among you and other songwriters of just evoking something that grounds them in a belief system, if that makes sense. Yeah. So again, this is what I would put in my essay. In order to garner myself an A. I don't know if I'm on the right track. It doesn't sound like I am exactly, or you didn't think of it this way, but I don't know. I think there might be something to it that you both went there. Jared?
I would say I didn't directly think of it that way, but your explanation of it does make sense. And I think that there is definitely some of that with anyone that goes through some level of trauma, which I guess we kind of all did. And I'm sure that's there because, you know, we were trying to get some of that out and we were trying to come at it from a place where it was presented softly and warmly and it was, you know, like kind of a gentle vibe. That's what we were going for. Those kind of references fit with that for sure.
Well, I think also the song tellingly is called Fighting. Parentheses, peace be with you. And you, again, not to put too heavy a hand on it, you attended these Greek Orthodox gatherings. The thing about those, as cynical as
they do often end in fist fights. What? Is that what you were going to say?
No, I was going to say, like, that is something you hear in a very, ideally, a very galvanized room. There isn't actually much fighting. There's unity. Whether you believe, like, I go into those things as an outsider, and I haven't been in many years. And I'm just, I'm like an observer. I have no stake in that. I'm supporting my wife and her family, but it is galvanizing. And the song is called Fighting, which is the opposite of galvanization, frankly. So the juxtaposition of the title was interesting enough, but the expression to me, again, this is just my, and I'm sure I'm not, it sounds like it's the same for you, Jared. It places you in that context. A room full
And the contrast was on purpose.
Yes.
You know, to have that. Yeah, for sure. So.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't want to dwell on it too much further. I hope we've touched upon a few things here that will intrigue people to check out this beautiful album, because the overall feeling I get is, like I say, one of warmth, optimism, some empowerment, you know, trying to get the subjects of the songs to kind of, feel good about themselves. and get them through something, whatever that is on any given song. So that is my clumsy way of encapsulating this wonderful record of yours. I want to ask you what's kind of next for each of you, whether it's this project or others. I'm going to start with Jared. Welcome back to Music Making. Part of the deal is enduring rambling interviews like this one. I'm sorry. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. But no, do you have plans, upcoming plans for Music Making or anything else?
Yeah, first of all, I love the conversation, and I'm a constant rambler, so this is I feel at home.
Okay, good.
I do have plans. Since this, I've just written a ton of stuff with Josh, and we have kind of a back catalog now. We're not really sure what we're going to do. I mean, I think we have enough for two albums probably, but there's also kind of a pull for each of us to do a solo thing. Josh, you know, is definitely probably ahead of the game on that. You know, I think you might do that soon, right? But so we're kind of just trying to decide which songs are going to go where. So
okay.
Back to that conversation of what, you know, how you decide what becomes a Forest-like song or not.
Yeah.
And for me, I kind of judge that on Josh's reactions. And then also with that, Josh gives me a lot of drive with music, and I don't know how far I would take something as a solo project. I would probably just, you know, plop it on Bandcamp and be done.
Yeah.
But so I don't know exactly what I want to do with all this stuff, but I definitely know there'll be another Forest-like.
It's lovely to hear that you feel spurred on to do things and that Josh is supporting that. So I just want to say that. That's cool, Jared. I'm happy for you. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josh, similar question. It sounds like there might be a solo album, which I presume is going to be called Garth's Gold because of the rejection involved. Just kidding. What's coming up next for you, Josh?
This past year has been, I've just been more inspired musically than I maybe ever have, or at least since I first started playing music, and, you know, it was so new and exciting and, you know, figuring out how to write songs. So I have been a little, I've got a lot of songs and, you know, a few different projects. Like there's new Rutabaga stuff that's being worked on. And like Jared said, we've got a drive folder with songs that are kind of earmarked for the next Forest-like record. Part of that is trying to figure out how we want to record it. But yeah, since those songs got saved in the drive, we've also both been writing quite a bit. So
awesome.
I've got some solo stuff that's pretty close to being done. And then my buddy Michael Doty, who I don't think you know or know of, maybe you've seen me post about his music before, but we've been working on some songs together. So, and then, yeah, between the weekly beats stuff, I'm, you know, at the end of the year, if I keep up with it, I'll have 52
new songs,
recordings. Right. Most of them will probably be about you, Vish. So maybe there's a Vish concept album coming up. The sky's the limit.
Endless fodder with me, of course. There's lots to talk about. Yeah, absolutely. No, that's great. That's awesome. I'm happy to hear you're both so inspired right now, because we need people like you to keep making great work. So thank you. I'm sorry. The pressure on you. We don't need it. You can take a rest. You can have a sleep in heavenly peace yourselves there and just take a break. But no, it's wonderful.
I took 12 years off.
Fine. You're probably rejuvenated. Yeah. You're off the bench. You're in for the whole game now. Yeah. Forget that. Yeah.
The fire hose is on.
No, it's great. So Josh, I think of you as something of a social media master. You're on it all often, promoting things if you have to or whatever. If people want to learn more about Forest Lake, where would you like to direct them both? On social media or online, however you like.
So probably the most easy way to get to everything is soundslikeforestlike.com. That it's basically like a link tree that has, you know, links to our Bandcamp and YouTube and whatnot. The only, I'm on the Facebook for like at my, I'm on there as myself. But like for Forrest, like our main social media thing is Instagram, and that is also at Sounds Like Forrest Like. So
okay.
Yeah. And Jared's dog Franny has a big big part of our Instagram channel. So if you want to see a really cool dog named Franny, do it on our Instagram.
And I'm really happy that Franny has been quiet this whole time. That's been a fear of mine. So
no,
she's done well.
We like dogs on the show. Josh knows there's often dogs on the show because of people and their dogs. It wouldn't have been a problem. But thank you, Franny, if I may say, as the producer of this audio. Thank you very much. Jared, do you want people to kind of find you on the internet in any particular way?
Just what Josh mentioned. Okay. I'm not savvy with the social stuff, so that would be, you know, just
that's why you only make 25% of our profits.
What profits?
Oh, I didn't know
this is new to me.
This is what this meeting's about. As I said earlier, we're just trying to divvy up the profits and get some contractual obligations ironed out. Just kidding. All right, we're gonna go out on a song, I hope, from this beautiful album. Josh knows this can be when I have more than one person on the show from the same project. I ask one, and that can open up the debate floor as to what song we go out on, and then we have to reach consensus. Sometimes blood is spilled. Sometimes relationships are severed forever. It's a really interesting moment in every conversation. Jared, I'm going to put all the pressure on you to pick a song for us to go out on. And then Josh, as you know, having played this game before, you have veto power. Jared, can you pick a song from the Forrest Like album for us to go out on and tell us why it came to mind?
Oh boy, I'm so nervous now. A lot of pressure.
Did I build it up too much?
You
feel
built
like
it up, yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
I feel pretty nervous. No, I think if I had to say, I would say Weatherman, because we're going to try next weekend to record a video for we're going to try the Tiny Desk audition. So we're going to do the at home audition. So we're going to do a video for that. So I would say Weatherman.
This is a song that seems to me to be inspired by the climate change discourse, or no?
It's actually not. I mean, okay. It sounds like that, but it was more inspired by actually just the period with the riots. So yeah, listen to it closely and you might pick up on that. But
well, when I read that another town is burning down, that's all. Yeah, that's a riot. I know I've been fooled by the weatherman. Ice in these veins. I hear some ice and fire, and I think of politicize the possibilities. It's all the same. So many ways to violate the brain. Sorry, guys. It's become a spoken word poetry section of my show. But my point is, I feel like some of that could be applicable to climate change discussions too. But I'm going to take your word for it as a primary songwriter that I'm wrong. And I will admit it. I can own that. I can own being wrong.
There's no right or wrong, Vish.
No, I'm sorry.
Song
I took a
means
stab.
To you.
I took a stab at some reading I had. Anyway, Josh, are you okay with this
yes.
choice? Does it make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Jared's driving this car. I'm just the passenger.
Okay.
And the social media maverick.
And running the social media.
Yeah. All right. Well, from the beautiful new album by Forrest Like, which is out now, this is Weatherman, and I hope you enjoy it. And you read into it what you like. I can't be right all the time, everyone. I'm sorry. Josh, Jared, a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here, and I wish you the best luck in the future.
Thank you, Vish.
Thank you, Vish. Nice to meet you. These veins
Very special thanks again to Josh and Jared from Forest Lake for appearing on this, the 853rd episode of Creative Control. It's funny listening to something that I recorded a while ago. This is around January 28th, and just a few days later, I lost my job, and I'm talking on the show here or with them about work stress, and most of that, the work stress is gone. I have other stresses, and I'll get to those in a moment. But yeah, it's just interesting. I was like, I feel like a totally different person than when we recorded this. Happier, but also worried about money and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, it doesn't matter. My point is this. I want to thank them for being on the 853rd episode of the show. It's part of the Entertainment One podcast network, Creative Control is, I mean, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts. If you can't find an episode that you're looking for, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit vishkana.com. There's also a link there that says follow Vish online or something, and that should direct you to all my social media presences at the present time. So your standard Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, Facebook, whatever, I can't remember them all. So yeah, if you want to follow me, please click on that link, and then you can figure that where you want to follow me. Also, that's where I put as many podcast players as possible. So if you're with you want to try a different podcast player on your device, then yeah, I put some Creative Control podcast links there as well. Also in that bunch of links, my Patreon. Please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation. Keep this podcast going. I was just alluding to this. This is my primary source of income these days, as I no longer have a day job, and as you've heard me talk about on the show. So it means a lot if you have the means to support the show in any way. And at the top of the show, I clumsily suggested that, you know, if you or someone you know is into being like a wealthy benefactor, you know, they support. I know there's people like this. I've worked with them. They just are like, oh, you know, I inherited a lot of money, so now I just give it to all these great arts organizations. It's lovely, actually, to be honest with you. But if I had a couple of those, oh my God. Sorry, my wife has this idea that that's all I need. And, you know, we share the money and the bill, so I try to listen to her. But maybe it's true. Anyway, sorry to keep bringing this up, but if you can support me, or if you know someone who can support me on Patreon, please do. Thank you so much. Also want to thank independent businesses like Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario for their in-kind support for this show. Thanks and love always to Jim Guthrie. You can learn more about Jim and his music at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you for listening to this episode with Josh and Jared from Forest Lake. Please check out their album. And sure, why not? Click on the link that sends you to Josh's song about me. It's very sweet. And otherwise, be well, and I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.